Yeah, that's a good pyramid noise.
Why are you so paranoid? No. Don't be so paranoid. No. Don't be so, baby.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here. 802 on ESPN 97.5. John, Lance, and Dell. And not that the city is less populous today because... the Texans are just whacking everybody over there. Everybody's getting whacked. Got whacked yesterday. Five coaches out.
From the Texans. And one is not named Bill O'Brien. So in case you weren't 100% sure, it's a wrap. Not only is Bill O'Brien staying, which if I'm being honest with you, I'm fine with. I'm not really anti Bill O'Brien. If he had gone, that's the way it goes in coaching. I knew that those two weren't going to work together, Bill and Rick Smith. And if you honestly believe that Rick Smith would still be in the same position and Bill O'Brien would still be in the same position, the Texans could have held Bill O'Brien to that, and he would have had to have done it, but he would have never agreed to a contract extension. I think by moving Rick Smith out, and I think they were going to do that independent of what Rick is going through personally, which is a different issue, clearly, yeah, with his wife. I think clearly what is happening now is they're not even opening a door for an interim. Rick's going to step away this year.
No.
They're hiring a new guy. Brian Gaines going to come back in all likelihood, and he's an OB kind of guy. OB was asked about, oh, are y'all talking about contract extension? Yeah, talks are going good.
Yeah, right.
He just said, you know, I want to get into it. Talks are going good. They're productive. This is an extension. He doesn't take an extension if he has to work with Rick Smith. Well, I'm telling you.
And he mentioned the word align. He mentioned alignment.
There's a lot in that press conference yesterday to glean from.
He wanted alignment. And that's the most important thing in the organization. The organization was not aligned correctly. He wasn't in charge. He wasn't in command. He didn't have his guy in lockstep as the general manager, which Brian Gain or Nick Caserio would probably be. They would be in lockstep because they're Belichick guys.
And it was interesting with Bill O'Brien where he got the inspiration for what happened yesterday. I mean, you know how some guys, they play like movies before games, get the team ready.
Yeah, get hyped up.
Right.
Well, Bill O'Brien had to get hyped up for...
Remember the Titans?
Yeah.
Right.
Bill O'Brien had to get hyped up for what happened yesterday, and I actually found out what he was watching.
They weren't easy to carve. Especially Black Waldo. My name is Arya Stark. I want you to know that. The last thing you're ever going to see is a Stark smiling down at you as you die.
Oh my God. They just got
this
let
is
go.
After he's eating his two sons, right?
Yeah. They're here, my lord. He was calling for his kids, and no, they're here. He goes, what? I don't see them. No, they're in this pie. They're here.
Bill O'Brien said, by the way, Romeo Crennel is going to continue on his role as assistant head coach, so not defense coordinator, I guess. We'll see what happens.
Maybe in an extended role where he can help him, you know, throw the red flag. Maybe he can help him with time management. That'd be great.
John Butler, secondary coach.
Beat it.
Whacked. Running back Charles London is leaving on his own, which means probably his contract ran out.
Yeah, beat it.
Jim Bernhardt, who is close with OB, is leaving to spend more time with his family. May have been one of the same situations.
Beat it.
Doug Coleman, assistant special teams coordinator.
Beat it.
Gone. Larry Izzo, who almost fought Bill O'Brien, apparently on multiple occasions.
Well, and gone. Bill, okay, it was asked about special teams. It was too inconsistent. We have to look at it schematically. We have to look at it from a coaching standpoint. We've got to look at every facet of special teams because in order for us to get where we will get to go, we have to improve that area. We've got to be better on special teams. I'm convinced when they get better players, they're going to be better on special teams.
It helps.
You know, I mean, they have average players playing on offense and defense. What do you think they've got on special teams?
Here are the positions: safety, linebacker, running back. These are all critical positions for special teams.
Yes.
Fullbacks, cornerbacks. Those are typically the big positions that go down and cover. You're not deep at safety. You're not
deep at safety. You're not good at your starters.
You don't have your starters out there, so what do you think you have behind them?
Right.
And that's why sometimes you get guys who are big and fast, and maybe they're not the best cover guys, but in terms of like a safety who you think, ooh, I don't want him out on the field, but boy, is he good on special teams.
Yeah.
Like, if you can, you'd love to have a guy who's just a badass special teamer. Like Matthew Slater with New England is known as the premier guy in special teams. I don't know that he's ever plays in a regular season game, but if you're deep enough, you can have one of those guys. Like Brian Braman was.
Yeah.
Brian Braman was that guy. Dylan Cole could be a dominant special teams player, I think. But, you know, hopefully. Well, I don't know if he'll ever be a starter. I think he'll play next to, you know, behind Bernardrick, and he'll come in maybe on thump downs. Actually, I think it's going to be Dylan Cole and Bernardrick in the future, with the sub-package guy being Zach Cunningham, if you really want to know the truth. Because Dylan Cole can run. I mean, that guy can run and can cover a little bit.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was Cunningham and Dylan Cole, if you want to know the truth.
And not Bernardrick's pretty good, though.
No, he's pretty good, but he's limited in coverage. I mean,
could bring both of them in and cover downs. Yeah,
yes.
That's true. And blitz one of them and cover with the other one.
And I could also see, you know what, if he's got to, Cunningham coming off the edge, if he has to.
Yeah.
When you're thin, like they were this year. Just like Joe Marciano, they weren't any good in special teams. We got to get rid of them. They suck in special teams. Guess what? They suck in special teams because they don't have any depth. There's no depth. They don't have any, they're not athletic. They're not athletic, period, on offense and defense, let alone on special teams.
Oh, so I've got I got something for you. So I was on the Blitz yesterday.
I thought you were with the Stray Cats.
No, I did two.
Oh, you
two
did?
Two shows yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm gonna come. He's the Stray Cat.
I'm gonna come do the Stray Cat.
Oh, I thought you two. Oh,
no, their show's called Stray Cats.
Numb Nuts and the Stray Cat.
I'm gonna come do Stray Cat show.
That's not
again.
A good name for a band.
I don't know. It's kind of.
Anyway, what do you think about this? They are very, very anti. Mike Vrabel. Very anti Mike Vrabel. Just he's got to go and all this. He had a bad year this year. There's no question about that. Their whole thing is, how could that guy get a head coaching interview? Now, he single-handedly turned Whitney Merciless around from a coaching standpoint. Whitney did it from a player standpoint.
Well, obviously. We talked about this yesterday, Raheel and I, on the show. And I don't care. You know what? He's not going to do any more scheme defenses. You know what he's going to have? A defensive coordinator that's going to scheme defenses. Right now, what a head coach has to do, he has to motivate. He has to he has to know talent because he's the final decision
See,
on the roster.
I think he might have... He might end up being a better head coach and coordinator.
He might be.
Some guys are better coordinators than coaches.
Guys respect him.
Yeah.
Can he get – okay, are guys going to want – first of all, does he have a good quarterback? Then he's not an offensive guy, so he's got to get a good offensive coordinator. Then he's got to get a good defensive coordinator in place. Then all the position coaches, guys have to want to work for him, and then guys are going to want to have to play for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a CEO now. When you become a head coach, you're the CEO. I don't care if you can scheme it up. It doesn't matter. You've got guys to do that. And then maybe you can go and tweak. No. You know what? Romeo used to do this and that and that. Oh, well, you know what? You know what we used to do, and Bill O'Brien told me about it, blah, blah, blah. All of those things. It doesn't matter if he was a good defensive coordinator here. Is he a motivator? Is he going to get, like, when there's a good free agent out there, do you think he's going to want to go and play for you?
The
guys say, this guy's a great guy to play for, you know what? And oh, by the way, he's
it
a
can
case.
Be mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
Your performance. And by the way, that's 1 year. Now, it wasn't a good year for him. It's his responsibility to get his team ready to go. It wasn't a good year for the defense. So there's no excuses for that. I'm not ready to just say, ugh, Mike Vrabel, I hope he goes somewhere else. He's terrible. I don't really believe that. Now, he's not going to be head coach of the Texans. And if that's the case, I can see people saying, okay, you guys just try to sell us on he could be a good head coach. Then I guess what you could be saying is, well, if he's a good head coach, why do you want him to stay as coordinator for the Texans?
But here's the deal. Is how many, like Gus Bradley, what a great defensive coordinator. Yeah, unbelievable. What a great defense. And he sucks as a head coach because he wasn't a head coach. He wasn't head. Just because he was a great defensive coordinator doesn't mean he's going to be a great head coach.
Does that happen, though, that you aren't successful as a coordinator and then you become a good head
coach? Here's why it doesn't, is because you probably don't get an opportunity. But here's the deal, is that the qualities of a good coordinator are not necessarily the qualities of a head coach.
Tomlin skipped it. I think he had 1 year as defense coordinator, but he may have just come straight
from... John Harbaugh was a special teams guy. How do you know how good he was?
I think he came straight from defensive back coach Tomlin to the Steelers. So, I don't know. I really don't know. Let's break it here because I want to talk to Landy. This is actually very important for you guys because I had a listener say, hey, is that Bill Advisor thing? Is that real? Or just be honest with me. I've listened to you for a long time. I'm like, yeah, I'm telling you right now, it's 100% real. Watch me do business right now. Hey, Landy, can you have somebody call me today? I want to try to get the new iPhone, the iPhone 10, and see if you guys can negotiate that and get me some kind of special rate or free activation. Can you have somebody do that for me?
Absolutely. What time do you want to talk to somebody?
Boom. Have them call me at like 11. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Do you want to talk on the phone or would you rather just text you and handle it that way so you don't have to talk to somebody?
Actually, you know what? Yeah, let's just text.
Perfect. Hey, it's 2018. People don't always like to talk to people anymore. No problem. We can keep that to a minimum.
That is, and that's actually the case. Aurora, so I'm looking at the savings, the big winners. This is a classic example. Aurora saved $789.84 on her electricity and internet services combined, those two different services. That's like an average savings, right? The average listener is going to save right around $800, but you've got the big winner this week save $24.28. And that would be Victor.
Absolutely. Victor on his satellite radio, $2,400. James from Katy, almost $1,850 on a satellite TV and internet bundle. And when you look at all these services that people saved here, satellite radio, satellite TV, internet, electricity, internet, like it's all over the place.
I didn't know you guys were doing satellite radio.
You're overpaying on everything.
You're doing satellite radio now?
Absolutely.
All right, I'll give you a shout. I didn't know about that. Yeah, we'll talk about that when they text, too. It's like you guys are adding new bills that you can negotiate. That's awesome. Well, I just learned something, as a matter of fact. For more information on how Bill Advisor can save you guys and get your money back after the holiday season, because you spin it, you spin it, you spin it, you need to get some of it back, they can do it by renegotiating your bills for you. Why don't you give them a text? Just text Bills. If you don't like talking to people, text Bills to 313131. That's 313131. Text Bills, and they'll get back with you. They'll start saving you big money. Or you can go to the website at BillAdvisor.com. Thanks, Lanny.
Thanks, Lance.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Let's say Alabama beats Georgia. How are the final rankings going to go? Alabama 1.
Shouldn't it be Alabama 1, Georgia 2?
Georgia 2. That's how I would have it. Yeah. Depending. If they get blown out, then...
But you
who would Clemson. Come... Who would, really? Because Clemson... Look, I don't know. You would put Clemson ahead of Georgia?
Yeah.
Because they got blown out.
They get blown out.
I mean, that was kind of a blowout.
I guess it depends on the level of the amount of the score. If we don't care about other bowl games outside of...
Well, but I think we do because I think Ohio State will be in the top four.
Oklahoma out.
Oklahoma.
Clemson's not going out.
No, actually, if you want to know the truth, I think the question is going to be, is it going to be... Well, you can't put... It has to be... It almost has to be. Maybe Ohio State fifth. It almost has to be Alabama, Georgia, because why would you put Clemson ahead of them? They got pretty much blown out as well.
Unless they lose 31-0, then do you put Clemson too?
Maybe
you can't make Oklahoma.
Because you can't put Oklahoma ahead of Georgia because they beat them. It doesn't. No, to them it does.
I mean, that's like other bowl games other than championship games. If you say they don't matter,
A coach will always go, "Hey, I finished second in the nation. Yeah. That was pretty damn good," or top five, whatever. Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Clemson, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Central Florida. Central Florida started 12th here. I think they've got to get up to at least 7.
Be close.
I mean, that's about where did Houston end up? 8th in the country when they beat Florida State?
Did they end up that high?
I think they did.
I think you're right.
Either they were top 10
8th or 7th.
So, yeah, they were in that neighborhood.
I had to check. Yeah, you're probably right. I think they probably get there.
And then,
you know what's a fun team to watch is Penn State. I never thought, primarily because they're good on offense and they're not great on defense, so it makes for better games.
Do you agree in their biggest games? First of all, Saquon Barkley averaged 16.7 rushes per game.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough?
No, but I almost wonder if that was intentional just to not wear him down for NFL purposes.
Well, you think so?
I don't know, because you look at the amount of carries he had the last 2 years, and what he had this year, it was almost intentional. Like, well, they were pulling him back.
But again, oh, you're right. They did pull him back, and they were in games that they lost.
It didn't make any sense.
They threw the ball more.
It didn't make any sense other than intentionally. Why would you intentionally hold out the best player in college football?
Well, he was used quite a bit in the passing game, caught 54 balls.
Yeah.
So
why don't you just not hand him the ball?
Well, I don't know. It wasn't like he was a non-factor when they weren't handing him the football.
Do you know how few 100-yard games he had this year? Go look at his game log. It's pretty surprising.
4. The number's 4.
Of how many 100-yard games? That's it.
Yeah, but you talk about the touches. Return kicks.
Right.
Caught the football 54 times. And obviously he ran 217 touches. So he probably reached 300 touches this year. If you include kickoff returns.
Right, but why didn't they, Love averaged 20 and Penny averaged 22 carries a game? Why wouldn't you give him the ball? Why wouldn't you feed him? And especially when they were close games against Ohio State, he had 21 carries.
He got shut down.
I think there's something to it that they didn't want to beat him up. I don't know. Nothing else makes sense.
Yeah.
Nothing else makes sense. I think it's at some point one of your recruiting things is going to have to be, if you come here, we're going to get you ready for the pros. Now, Barkley doesn't strike me as this kind of guy that you got to sell this to, but some guys you're going to say, we're going to get you here, and we're not going to take all the tread off the tires. We're going to, pull a Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, because you look at those two guys, neither one of them has a tremendous amount of tread off the tires. Like Michelle never had a 200-yard rushing season, 200 attempt season. I can remember.
Well, Chubb was being – but Chubb had the injuries.
Right.
So, I mean –
He had 1 year of injury.
Right. Well, and Sony Michel and Swift, and now they've got number 5.
Yeah, they got – and you know what? That's the way it goes sometimes. Sometimes it's just going to be where you are on a deep team. I take it back. Sony Michel, the year of the injury, did have 219 carries. 152, 142, that's not a ton. That's not a ton of carries. But – remember when Ricky Williams had 100 million carries for University, or Ron the Punishment Dane had 100 billion carries? Those guys, we just know now, it's highly detrimental to your NFL career. That's just how it goes. Saquon Barkley went from 182 carries in 2015, 272 last year, and then after the bowl game's over, 217 this year. But you're right, Dell. He did have 54 catches to 28 the year before. So that was 24 more catches. So from a touch standpoint, he was 251. Last year, 300 touches. That's a lot of touches as a sophomore.
Yeah, but he's so strong. I don't. Do you see tread off that tire? I don't know.
He takes a lot of big shots. I mean, you can't see it. If there is, you can't see it.
Isn't he the strongest? Like,
oh, my God.
He deadlifts and
he and Nick Chubb is a 500 squatter, but Saquon is about as powerfully built as any running back you'll see. What's going to be interesting is, like, if you were the Texans, let's say the Texans, where would they draft right now? What would their position have
been? Fourth.
Okay. So if they were fourth.
Offensive tackle.
But there's not one. You want Orlando Brown there? Yeah. I would draft Quentin Nelson if you were
there.
Well,
I would trade down then. And grab Orlando Brown, but you can't. You have to get that offensive.
What about you get a dominant? I think Quentin Nelson is going to be an all time guard, like an all pro. My comp on him is Larry Allen. Now everyone's going to say Zach Martin, white guy from Notre Dame, and it's going to fit neat, nice. And I ran this Larry Allen thing by my little offensive line crew, you know, Jeff Schwartz, like former players, Aaron Taylor, Duke, you know, guys who have done it, and they're like, ooh, I feel a little uncomfortable comparing anybody to Larry Allen. And I get that. We all felt uncomfortable about the Michael Jordan comparison.
But he was right.
With Deshaun Watson. But I really, truly believe that Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame, is going to be one of the all-time greats at guard. And if you have a chance to have one of the all-time greats, if I were the Texans and you had that pick, I would take him.
At four?
Yeah, I would take him at four. I have no
doubt.
Could
you trade down and get him still?
No. I don't think he leaves the top five. As a matter of fact, the Cleveland Browns should be considering
wild that a guard is going to be, is almost guaranteed.
But he's so much better than any other offensive lineman in this draft. Like, it's not even really close. He is substantially better. These mock drafts that have Connor Williams ahead of Quentin Nelson, these guys haven't done any work, or they would never say that kind of thing. They have not studied any of these guys.
However, doesn't an offensive tackle.
Well, that's the other thing. Connor Williams ain't going to be a tackle. And if he starts at a tackle, he'll eventually move to guard. He'll be like Brandon Scherff and move down to guard. And if you want to compare guard to guard, Quentin Nelson blows him away. He blows everybody away at guard. So, to me, Saquon Barkley plays a position that's not typically a top three pick anymore. Running back, right? You don't do that. Leonard Fournette went fourth.
And guess what?
Zeke Elliott went four, right? It was a four or five for Zeke. I think it was four.
Four.
If I'm Cleveland at number one, and you can't trade out of that pick, because there's not a quarterback in this draft I would touch with the first pick. Zero of them. None of them. I would take Saquon Barkley. I don't care.
They can't.
I would take a running back.
Because the reason Sashi Brown's not there is because he refused to take a quarterback with that first pick. You don't think Josh... I don't care. I'll take Josh Rosen first overall.
If you don't think he can do it, you can't do it. You can't fall into that trap if you don't think a guy...
Well, where would you take... But what? He's beat fifth pick? Seventh pick? What's the difference? What's the difference? I got to get a franchise quarterback.
I don't think he's a guy that will get you fired. I don't think he loves football. People who have coached him have said he's difficult. He challenges everything you say. He's not coachable. His teammates don't rally around him.
He hasn't won.
You don't make that guy... What's that?
He hasn't won.
There's not one reason to draft him first. You are taking a massive leap of faith if you draft Josh Rosen. Sam Darnold's not in this draft. You're not drafting Baker Mayfield first.
No.
5'11" quarterback. He's not going to measure six. You're not drafting a 5'11" quarterback first.
Josh Allen.
Oh my God. Jake Locker.
Yeah.
The guy who can't hit 60% in college at Wyoming. Why would you not take Saquon? Like, this year of all years, there's no dominant cornerback. There's no dominant pass rusher. I don't think Bradley Chubb is that guy, although I think he'll go top five. Why not take a great player?
But this is supposed to be the great quarterback draft, Lance.
That's
what they told us.
That narrative's over.
Okay.
That narrative's over.
Well, it turned out that actually last year's was the great quarterback draft.
Yeah, they screwed up.
Before was actually pretty good with Goff and Wentz. Yeah.
Sam, Josh.
This is the draft.
The other Josh.
Josh Allen.
Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield. Quarterbacks everywhere.
Is it crazy to think that Lamar Jackson would be the best quarterback
by
in this draft?
By the way, if you're the Browns, you have more than one first-round pick.
So would you use a quarterback at four?
You consider that. You know what I'd do? I'd go try to get Saquon one and hope Quentin Nelson fell past the Colts
or
whoever's
at
three
the Browns
to number four. And I would go get two Pro Bowlers to pair with Pro Bowler Myles Garrett, and I would start to beat people's ass
and
on a
zero
regular
quarterbacks.
Basis.
And
run
you know
Deshaun
what?
Kizer
I'll just,
out there
I'll keep,
one more year.
No, I'd maybe take one in the second or move up into the first and go grab
Baker Mayfield.
They got multiple
second round picks.
26.
They got multiple second round picks.
They got a zillion
too.
Picks in the top 50.
They can move right back
you
into the first.
You can maneuver around and do whatever you want. But go get the two surefire guys. Saquon, to me, is surefire.
Is it crazy to say that Lamar Jackson could be the best quarterback in this draft?
Don't ask me, because I feel like
you know
it's
what?
A possibility.
I don't think it's crazy anymore.
I don't think so either.
I don't think it's crazy anymore. I don't think Josh Allen, to me, isn't consistent. You can't throw the ball consistently, accurately. I don't buy into you. If you are Sam Darnold, you're out of the draft. For those who missed it, he's going back to school. If you're Josh Rosen, I don't think you're a leader of men. And I think when he's already telling you, if I just have certain preferences of where I'd like to go. As soon as you weren't here when all that stuff went down. Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel when quarterback goes, I just would rather play in New York. I'd rather not play in Cleveland.
Oh, you mean like Eli?
Eli did the same thing.
You mean like John Elway? You mean like, I mean, how, they all, are you kidding me? Who wants to play for the Browns? And oh, by the way, I don't know that they're wrong. If Brandon Whedon wasn't drafted by the Browns, he might still be a serviceable quarterback in the NFL.
You know what? I don't like quarterbacks who already are in quit mode before.
It ain't quit mode. It's history.
Because I don't see when I watch him.
Now let's give John Dorsey a little bit of. You know what? He hasn't been there.
Uh-oh.
And you know what? I don't know how long Hugh Jackson's going to last, but Hugh Jackson isn't a bad coach. He's a good coach.
Is he?
Yeah, I think he is.
Based on his 1-31 as a head
well,
coach?
How
do you sell good coach at 1-31?
Well, I thought he was a better coach in Oakland, and he really didn't get a shot.
You have a hard time selling me on the Hugh Jackson's a good coach train.
People in
Cleveland are freaking the out right now that Hugh Jackson is retained. Amen. You got to see.
Really?
And now you're asking why Josh Rosen may not want to be part of that? Hey, Lance, we got a job for you. You're going to be our featured player, but this is a station who, well, actually you kind of came back to that. I can't even make that joke. This is a station who's had failure after failure after failure. But we're going to draft, but we you think you can does? Change we can change you can change
change
it.
The culture?
Yeah. It's you, Lance. It's
you. If I have a bunch of top round picks around me that I know are coming in, a bunch of talented people coming in, like a Rich Lord and whatnot, just all coming to the station, I'll say, hell yeah, I'll be part of that.
Yeah.
What?
Hell yeah.
What? 8:30 ESPN 97.5 with that, taking a break. Like a startling sign, the fate had finally found me.
Yo, turn me up in the headphones.
Like that?
Yeah.
Bad boy.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, see if your mic works now.
No.
No, it doesn't work.
It works. Maybe he can't turn it off.
Lance can't turn his mic off. So it's all the crap that we were talking about in here now, Lance, congratulations. Now we're all going to get fired. Congratulations. There you go again. Getting everybody fired.
We rehashed the
body bags.
Body bag.
790 Insider. I see what you did there.
You see my role?
He worked himself
see
in.
See you back
he
in a second.
He ingrained himself
Adam
into the
Clinton.
Culture.
What?
The show's coming back together. You didn't know that. The morning show. I just got you guys fired. Just getting rid of the competition.
All right.
By the way, I sat my kids down at dinner last night and told them about Mike Tyson Punch-Out. That was our topic of conversation. I said, I want to tell you kids about something. First of all, I tried to challenge them each with a question to see if they could get it. I asked Mason, can you name 3 Rihanna songs? And he couldn't. He named one, but I guess it was an Eminem song where she was featured. So Alec, my 13-year-old, didn't count it. He's like, that doesn't count. And then he named. I said, oh, is that right, Alec? Tell me where Magic Johnson played college basketball. He couldn't do it. He didn't know it was Michigan State. So then I had to tell him that Larry Bird story, and Snacks tried to argue with me. He went, no. Alec, one of them argued with me, like, Larry Bird went to Indiana. I said, he did, but he left and went to Indiana State. No, he didn't. I said, yeah, he did. Yes, he did. And then I had my daughter ask her one. I can't remember what her question was. I can't remember what Snacks' question was. But then I just said, kids, do y'all know about Mike Tyson Punch-Out? Somehow it came up about Mike Tyson biting Evander Holyfield's ear. I don't even know how that came up at the dinner table. But I started explaining Mike Tyson Punch-Out, and one guy started mentioning that there's codes to Mike Tyson Punch-Out on Nintendo. Like, it's not codes. There's patterns. You got to know the different fighters you fight. There's a certain pattern. And kids today, he said, I let my kids play it, and when we went to my mom's house, I still have a Nintendo over there. He said, they couldn't figure out that there was a pattern. Like, they had no ability to. Does that sound... So you're at an age, Raheel, you're in your 30s right now, right?
Yeah.
So are you, Dell, right?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, so his thought was, kids today, they're not observant enough, when they're not patient enough and they don't have the attention span to figure out that there's a pattern to Mike Tyson. They can't do it. As an example, and there were all these video games like that. You could have played Grand Prix where the cars come at a certain pace, and you start to figure out what you have to do because the coding was more basic then, and you just put a rotation on it. You know, you make it more simple. Now I think games flow, and they're totally different. But his whole thing was kids today can't see patterns and figure out patterns, which is cognitive learning. That is going to be something that goes beyond video games. That's going to be recognizing patterns is like recognizing history almost. And can you do that? And can you avoid that? Do you think there's something to that this age group people can't see?
I'm not sure. I've never noticed anything like that, to be honest with you, because I don't.
I'm using it in video games, but it could be life.
But I don't have an example of kids in that age range where they have the patterns or they don't. Mm-hmm. Like I can't comment on that because I'm not around them. Like, you're around kids that age, so I will say for my daughter though, who's almost three, a lot of the shows that she watches, they follow a certain pattern in terms of how a story's written or what happens when Peppa Pig, Frozen, Moana.
There's Peppa Pig?
Oh, you don't know Peppa Pig?
Oh, you ain't on Peppa Pig.
Peppa Pig is a British learning show.
The little girl tells her dad he's fat and ugly.
And and
this is how.
What kind of ugly stuff is this?
Yeah.
It's disrespectful to dad.
Dad's getting disrespected constantly.
That's why the millennials are like this.
My dude over there is just grinding. He's
your homeboy?
He's an engineer.
My dude is fine. Did you hear that, Dad?
No.
He said my
your
dude.
Homeboy?
He is my dude.
Mike.
He's not my homeboy.
I'm not the one who challenged you. It was Tyler.
Beginning of the show?
Yeah, I heard. You guys did the recap of the Raheel and Del show. That was really nice.
We're the post-game show for your show?
That was pretty awesome.
What about the usual suspects in the Blitz? We went right to...
No, we got callers, and we had men of color make... And it was a little split. The first guy was on my side. The next two, like, no, I don't know about that. And one guy said, what did he say? If you know him...
Yeah, he said if it's a friend term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm that way, too. The problem isn't the potential of you saying it to Bucky Brooks. It's the potential of you saying it, and then everyone who... saw you say it reacting.
Oh, there's no question. You don't have to know me. You don't have to know context. You don't have to know anything.
Yeah. That's Twitter. Why I told you locally here when it's just us having fun. Oh, look, it's Raheel, Dale, Lance, John. We're just having fun. Homeboy, we can do it here. No. When the national lights go on and you go, and that homeboy really did Baker wrong, there will be a Twitter bleep storm for you, the NFL Network will be like,
listeners,
Lance, we're done.
No, you're right. There's a reason there's a reason I got the job over Nolan Araki. It's because his write-ups on Cam Newton and RG3 made him just too...
What did he write? I don't know that story.
He's the one that said, well, here, I'll pull it up and see how much of this you think is really bad. Cam Newton. Here we go. This is when he was with Pro Football Weekly. None of this even happened on NFL.com, his write-ups. Pro Football Weekly shut down. NFL.com hired him. I thought he was he's fantastic as a scout. Really tight with a lot of people in the league. And here's what he says. Okay? And in NFL.com ended up saying, there's just too much heat on this guy. Even though he hasn't said anything, we just can't take a chance. Naraki said this in 2011. Newton has a track record as a non-dependable, non-trustworthy, fake rah-rah leader at a very key leadership position. And he could really struggle to win a locker room. He projects as a top 15 pick in this year's draft, but he is still very much a project. In 5 years, don't be surprised if he's looking for another job. Mm. It's one thing to...
Racist.
It's one thing to miss, you know, if you miss. He went on to say...
Racist.
He didn't stop there. He even threw shade at Panthers general manager Marty Herney. I think if Marty Herney takes Cam Newton, he's setting himself up for a similar legacy to Bobby Bethard, who drafted Ryan Leaf. I think in 3 years, he's going to be... out on the streets, and Cam Newton is going to be a mediocre NFL quarterback.
Racist.
Well, most concerning is that he cheated academically, for one. He's stolen on more than one occasion. He's also lied. So he had... Remember, he got kicked out of Florida for stealing laptops. So he had some serious concerns there. In the words of one general manager I talked to last night, he's a narcissistic con artist. Hmm. He had called in his draft, he had called him a fraud and disingenuous and always knew where the cameras were and had a me-first makeup. Now, let me tell you what happened there. This is stuff that he got from an NFL guy. He got this from a scout at that particular time.
I
know who the scout was. These are conversations that are had behind closed doors. There is no, all the walls come down.
So did he quote it as such? Or did
that's his problem.
He should have put
a scout told him. Yeah. A scout told him.
That's what happened.
Because this is stuff in a locker room. They'll say, look, they'll say, you got the area. What do you think about him? And whoever the scout is, say, look, I think he's a con artist. I think he's a me first guy. They said this about Johnny Manziel too. And you let that out, but you don't let the public know. And what Nolan Rocky's big fault, and I've never gotten caught doing this, if somebody tells me something I can use like that, that turns into a quote.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not putting it as my personal opinion. He tried to take something that someone gave him and use it as his opinion. And so then when Evan Silva from Roto World says, how many times did you go into Auburn and go meet Cam or go talk to the program? Well, I didn't, none. Then it turns into, wow, you just went in, you're saying all this stuff about him and you didn't. His problem is he should have said, scouts tell me or a scout said this. You don't use it as your own. RG3, he went after RG3 about, now he nailed RG3.
Racist.
He nailed RG3, but it's two black quarterbacks.
Still racist.
So he was done.
The voice of reason, John here.
If he's going after RG3 and Cam Newton, what do you think it is, Dell?
Why do you always ask me? You have an opinion. Let's stand on your opinion.
Well, no, he's confirming the opinion.
I'm not. I can't confirm someone else's opinion.
Why didn't you ask me to confirm it?
Do you think it's racist?
Meh. Who are you, Kitten Mittens? Meh.
What are you doing? Okay.
Is Lance coming in?
Wait, why did you guys put straight milk on? Why am I on air right now? I'm not getting paid for this.
Garbage.
So let me. Okay, so here's something else that Cam Newton said. I mean, that Nolan Rocky said. Tell me if he's wrong on this. Everybody's just assuming because of the Heisman and the Sox and all that BS. This is actually Bob McGinn got this from a scout. Everyone's assuming that the Heisman and the Sox and all that BS, that they're ignoring a lot of bad tape he's had. I don't think he has vision or pocket feel, which to me are the two most important components of a quarterback. He's just running and winging it like Michael Vick, but not as good a thrower. He has better arm action, is more accurate with his deep ball, but he's not as good as Cam Newton. As much as is written about his athleticism under duress in the pocket isn't even close to Cam's. This guy, the only way he gets big plays is with his feet, is if he's got wide open field and the sea opens for him. He's got a little bit of selfish streak, too. Everybody was laying on Cam, but for some reason, this guy's become gloves off. He doesn't treat anybody good. That's actually 100% accurate.
Did he mention...
That's not Nolan Rocky, who didn't say... Nolan had his own comments on him. But that's...
Probably racist.
Probably. Did he... It's weird that the NFL scout said, watch out, he loves white women, too.
What? You think...
That's what one scout said.
You think...
You're just saying that.
So now, basically, we can say anything we want and just go...
He had a wife.
And that's what one
he had a wife.
Scout
and what color was his wife?
White.
And what's his new girlfriend?
White.
Don't know.
White. She's like some type of Eastern European track woman from Florida State or something.
Is he still with that same girl?
At last check, I think they're getting... engaged or something.
They had tattoos together.
No, yeah.
You don't go tattoos.
They're married already.
Okay, let me know if
He proposed on the beach when she was pregnant.
You don't get tattoos together. He said, let me know if Chris Sims is on that staff with Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco.
Are they married?
They didn't stay together.
Well, Chris Sims is busy
and they got
launching a media empire.
And
Chris Sims was on a pregame NFL show.
This is.
And single-handedly taking the university down by talking about getting paid.
Yeah, but everybody kind of just dismissed that.
Everybody said, Chris, really?
Chris, what are you trying to watch out money? What are you doing?
Chives says, I remember that Nolan Rocky guy getting torched for a slightly racist, condescending write-ups. Here's the thing. He was condescending about a lot of players, regardless of race.
Yeah.
That's Nolan's style. He writes like a scout, like, Nolan, you can't.
Nolan.
That's for behind closed doors. You can't say those things in public.
Fair. White dude?
Yeah, he would. Yeah.
For
white dude.
Yeah. He went to Illinois. He's a walk-on linebacker at Illinois.
Nolan Rocky?
Hey, I talk like this.
You don't talk like anything anymore. Ain't no one looking to hear from
you. Nobody knows his voice anymore.
I haven't heard that name in years. You used to have him on the draft show, right?
Yeah. He was on the draft show, and then I had to distance myself because it was just too...
You're one of those fake friends.
It's too hot in the street, yeah.
Lance is a fake friend.
Yeah, it's like, sorry, we got to drop you, Nolan. Name's too hot in the streets. Bang, homeboy. Because I can say that to him because he's a white guy.
Can he do that?
Yeah, I can do that.
I
no.
know you can't.
Can I call? I can call can. Him homeboy. I can no, call Nolan no. Rocky homeboy.
I don't know if you
appropriating.
Yeah. Stop. As John says, appropriating.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Yes, you're culturally yeah. appropriating.
Yeah. You know, the John I left, John walks that fine line between saying the word midget out loud.
Hey, and hey, watch
no,
it.
No, he does.
You just said,
you just said that. You said it about him. You said, John says midge.
Yeah, midge.
Well, okay.
Different.
That's
okay.
That's okay.
Midge is okay. That's not, Raheel, is that okay?
Guys, we don't say those
that's
words anymore.
That's not okay. We that's not okay.
Him, we just call him Tyrion Lannister. That's it.
That's what
little
we do.
Tyrians. Buzzwords?
Little Tyrion.
I can't, I don't know. John straddles this weird line between saying that, Minge, and then
just
like
be,
saying,
hey, Lance, hey,
just because you whispered it
and you mumble it doesn't mean no one
Lance,
heard you.
And then John goes, you're appropriating. Like, I don't need, you've gotten to him, Dell.
How did I get
he
to him?
He does both. He does both. I've never seen anybody straddle both lines.
Hey, Lance, I don't know if you know this.
How about this
That's
game?
That's the game we all play, but you, we all straddle. We all do that, play that game.
I come back and here's the game you play. Asian golfer or food or something.
Not
the
anymore.
Most racist game I've ever heard of.
Not anymore.
And, no. and but then you're
we
like,
don't play
you can't
that.
Say,
I don't know what the hell you're talking
and
about.
And now you're just snitching.
Yeah.
Dude, what are you doing?
No, that was actually on the air.
Yeah,
I heard it one time.
But no one dropped the most racist game I ever heard until you said it.
Yeah.
And I say homeboy.
Oh, really?
Oh,
it was
you can't say
wait,
homeboy.
It was sponsored by China Garden. Okay? Yeah, so it, automatically it's not racist.
Exactly. Just like I'm,
that's right.
Nolan Meraki probably has a black friend.
That's right.
He does have.
He does.
He does.
He played football with black guys. It's okay.
It's okay. He can
he
be
did.
Racist.
Lance.
It's okay to say somebody's a selfish player who knows where the cameras are. It's okay.
All right, go to
apparently break. It's not. Homeboy's not, though.
No.
You know,
that's no.
out.
That's you know, appropriating.
You know, saying a name of a dish of L12, and like, is it North Korea? Is it a South Korean golf, or is it L12? We'll find out next, but I can't say homeboy.
Pretty, yeah, you nailed it pretty much. Thank you.
This is, I feel like Dell makes up all these rules.
I don't,
if
he
I'm
does
being honest.
Rules.
I feel
that's
like
why
Dell
I always
makes
go
up
to him. Dell, what do you think about this?
I don't make up the rules. I just know you were being racist.
Dell's the culture vulture is what he is.
No, you're the culture vulture. That's the point. You're appropriating.
Go to a break.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
That's even worse than you think. Well, Lance isn't here. Lance Schefter. As soon as the segment starts, he usually picks up the phone and goes, makes a call. But I'm peeing. I got up right away from the segment, went in there to pee. And he comes in and drops the toilet seat next to me. Like,
And it's Tyler.
We are not at that point in our relationship.
You guys have been together a long time, and as Tyler pointed out, you can't group poop with Lance?
No. I was peeing. I wasn't pooping. And he comes in, you better get out of here. I am! Wait!
Yeah, that's horrible.
No.
You can't do that.
He's supposed to wait for you to leave and then do what he has to do?
And then get his business done.
Yeah, you're relearning the marriage.
Good
guys,
Lord.
This is strange.
This no.
What's strange is, I mean, he's got to work till 9:30. He couldn't have held off.
I know. Man.
That's Lance.
Well, sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can't.
Well,
sometimes.
How about we stop downing coffee the entire show?
Well, that's it. But don't drop the toilet seat when I'm still in there, okay?
Yeah. How about you two guys go to a cold brew? It's a little bit easier, and it's less of the...
Coors Light?
No, a cold brew coffee. Yeah, it's
doesn't has.
I don't want one of those.
You're good.
I used to drink iced coffee in the morning, and
it's
still
not
worse.
Iced coffee. It's not iced.
No, iced
cold
coffee
brew
is different.
Oh, I don't know what that
no,
is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. You
yes,
want to know
is.
Why?
It's less acidic.
Is it?
Yes.
I don't.
Are you sure?
I don't clear my throat.
Why would cold brew
Bro,
be less acidic?
Who's more in tune with his body?
Oh, I mean, that is true.
It is less acidic because
why?
It's not. It's brewed overnight. No, it's not. It's the way it's brewed. It takes 12 hours to brew because you just put it in the fridge.
So you know what sparks acid reflux is just caffeine. Yeah, it is.
It's just caffeine.
I've had the surgery. You can't beat me on acid reflux.
This is the segment we're doing?
Yeah. You can't beat me on acid reflux.
I'd much rather talk about Lance dumping. Okay.
I mean, I'm not comfortable with either, if I'm being honest with you.
Forget all. You said you don't clear your throat?
Me.
What?
Yeah. No. You don't hear me clear my throat. No. No.
Not
a lot. No.
There's a promo dedicated to you clearing your throat.
Yeah, I know. Guess what? Because you caught it over 10 years here.
No chance.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Over a month.
The interns aren't going back years. Stop it.
Our interns can't even go back a show. They're so slow.
Yeah. What do you guys think? You think who's the Masters odds?
That's perfect timing in the show.
Who do you think?
I'm going to go Tiger.
Tiger's 15-1.
I'm just kidding.
Jordan is the favorite.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Mark Trevino.
Gary Player.
Gary Player is 900 years old. No.
And what are his odds?
Yeah. Actually, dude's in great shape. He can still
Corey
tee it up.
Pavin.
No.
Is he on the board? Is he on the odds?
No,
board?
Gary Player is not on the board.
Sure? Where is? What about Chichi Rodriguez? Where is he on the board?
Dead.
He's off
no,
the
he's
board.
No, he's not dead. Yeah, actually, he's not dead. I saw him at the Astros game.
Really?
No, who was it I saw?
What?
Yeah, no, in Boston.
You saw Chichi Rodriguez at an Astros game?
Yeah. Yeah. Was it Chichi? It was one.
Juani Rodriguez?
No.
It feels racist to call him Chichi Rodriguez.
That's the same. I didn't come up with it.
Chai Rodriguez would be.
Yeah.
That would be. No, he's alive. He was at the Astros in Boston when we were the playoff game. And everybody's, there's Chichi.
What about Bagger Vance?
Stop. 8:58.
He's not on the board?
I said, we have to catch up on breaks.
Yeah,
because
let's go.
Because of Lance's appropriation.
Oh, I'll see you guys later. I got to finish.
No, you don't.
he's got
to
go
off midway.
You turtled all the way back here.
I'm good.
I want to ask you guys about the college football playoffs. You were talking about it earlier.
Yeah.
I want to revisit that discussion if that's cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or we could do something else.
Well, it is your show. Why are you asking Lance what you can and can't do?
It's called the casualties.
No, it's 8:59 right now, Dad.
No, the next show.
Yeah, yeah. So right now he's bringing it up.
Yeah. So, it's a casualties.
Trash tease.
It's time to talk about being a champion. As a matter of fact, he was talking about, that's what Raheel wants to talk about, being a champion.
No, it was college football playoffs.
Well, or being, who's going to be the champion? Somebody's going to be a champion after the college football playoff, right? Well, if you want to be a champion in your house with your wife, if you want more money in your pocket, she will love you more because you have more money in your pocket. Women love guys with more money.
She'll love you long time?
Yeah. No, that's a different thing altogether.
Well, come on, she might love you long time.
Nah, she's your wife. She's not going to love you that long.
Well, no, probably not. But here's the deal. Is you, my friends, will get more women in your life. They'll look more attractive to you. You will have more relations because you have more money in your pocket. That's just a fact. That's what happens. So if you're looking for more money in your pocket, you go to 1560energy.com and get more women. Ergo, more women. All you have to do is go to 1560energy.com and you're going to start hitting it. Just go to 1560energy.com, 281-653-5090, promo code 1560.
This is how we do. We make a movement at the
full. I don't really care what you say.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.